A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means "God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, this is the second Annunciation, and just like the first, it reaches its climax with someone saying yes to a very difficult message, a very challenging and totally unexpected message. We talk about Mary's yes a lot, but this one really is as remarkable. Look at the way Matthew sets the scene. Here's this young man. I don't know why we so often imagine him as old. It doesn't say anything about his age in the Gospel. Here's this young man who's discovered that his fiancée is pregnant and he knows he's not responsible. So he decides, and who can blame him, not to marry her after all. But he's kind enough, he's generous enough to make the choice not to denounce her publicly, although he thinks at this point that she's betrayed him. Isn't this a great start? This is the man who's going to take on the role of father as Jesus is growing up. And we know what solid standards he has, and we know he's not in the smallest degree vindictive. So, okay, an angel tells him not to worry, that the child Mary is carrying is the Son of God. Well, most people in these circumstances would either run like rabbits or think they were imagining things. Not Joseph here, and again after his second dream, when he's told to take his wife and the child away out of Herod's jurisdiction. Here, and in the second case, he shoulders his responsibility and saves Jesus from a premature death in the second case. What a great man! The only other time we hear about him in the Gospel is almost in passing. In Luke, when Jesus remains in Jerusalem after his bar mitzvah, and when she finally finds him, his mother reacts like any mother in the circumstances. "What on earth were you thinking? Your father and I were worried," she says. Notice she doesn't hesitate here to call Joseph his father, because that is what, in human terms, he must have been for this child, this extraordinary child. But what matters about Joseph is not that we know so little about him, not that we scarcely notice him, and how often really do we even think about him? Jesus is brought up by this man. Joseph is like the background music for Jesus's childhood and adolescence. And background music in a film seems superfluous, it seems incidental. But if it's taken away, how much poorer is the movie? Try it. Try taking away the background music. I can't help thinking of Casablanca, but any good film. And see how much you lose. Joseph is like that. And that's precisely the reason that he's such a wonderful model for all of us. If we're faithful, if we have his perfect integrity, if we're just simply there, even in the most difficult circumstances, we don't have to be the stars. We don't have to play the leading role in our small histories. But we can enrich them. Like Joseph, we can be background music.